Monday. Happy Monday. Is it the end of the world? Wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me one bit. Crazy stuff happening out there in this world. We all know it. Lots of tension, lots of negativity, and bad stuff comes from lots of tension and negativity. We're going to try and lighten the load a little bit here today, which is going to be tough for me. It's almost going to be a Herculean task, I would say, for me to deliver upbeat quality radio over the next 50 or so minutes, seeing as though I've been on the job here for 4.5 months, and today was the worst traffic that I have ever seen during these past 4.5 months. There was one weather day in the winter, I remember, where I just barely got in here before the show started as well, but I expected it that day. Today, I don't expect anything. I'm traveling up 93 from Manchester up towards Concord. All of a sudden, the traffic's getting a little bit thicker, and then all of a sudden, boy, we're stop and go. About 25 minutes or so, and I'm like, what is this? The lunar eclipse, what, people are just going nuts. Oh, I'm listening on the radio and says, you know, this is the day where there's a lot more accidents because people are looking and there's just craziness. Something's going on. I had a bird fly into my window this morning, actually. I was sitting watching TV and just this bird repeatedly flew into the window. I had just sat down in the couch maybe 20 or 30 seconds before. And boom, boom, but what's going on here? Lunar eclipse? It hasn't started yet, but the birds. But I brush that off, whatever. I'm in the car. Let's drive. The traffic hits. Well, eventually I get to the part where 89 breaks off from 93 up in the Concord area, and there's no traffic. So I'm thinking, you got no reason why there's been literally 25 to 30 minutes of stop-and-go traffic over the past, say, 5 miles. Takes me half hour to get through that. What's the reason? When I sat down in the chair this morning, talked to Andrew, and he said, oh yeah, people going north to watch this eclipse. Really, are you people lunatics? Really? You're driving somewhere to go watch the lunar eclipse with glasses? Like, what do you think's going to happen, dude? You think somebody's going to, like, jump out of a cake at the end? Like, well, I don't understand. What are you so excited to look at the sun and the moon for? Oh, let me get my special glasses. How is this going to improve anybody's life? Not for nothing. The schools are making a big deal. Okay, I guess, but it should be more for the spiritual side of things because the end is near. And maybe in the end of times, both the Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics will win championships. Or maybe yours truly, Slim on the Sports Machine with Slim, will have a lock stock guarantee that actually comes true and through. So stay tuned, everybody. You're going to get that lock, stock guarantee in about 3 seconds. 2-1. This is not financial advice, but UConn is going to destroy Purdue tonight. Guaranteed. Write it down. Purdue has 0.0 chance to win the game tonight. UConn should be favored by at least 15. The only reason I can tell why it would be 6 is because there's a lot of people that had futures on UConn to win the whole tournament, and the lines makers don't want to inflate that too much for a chance for people to middle that play. I'm just going to tell you this, dude. Klingon is the best defensive matchup against Edie. And, yeah, part of my rant here is going to be about how NC State just totally, they just fell flat. I mean, I'm real disappointed about what happened Saturday night with the NC State Wolfpack because you knew, based on the way I was talking last week, I was just excited to see them play. And I really thought they could and should beat Purdue. But the coaching thing just rears its ugly head again. I mean, what was the final score of this game? I think 68 to 55 or 53. In the end, is that what Purdue ended up winning by? It was about 15 points. I'm going to go on. I'll get you the exact number here. But here's the deal. Okay, at least 5 of the threes that Purdue ended up hitting were direct results of the guard. Just put it in Edie in the post. Edie catches the ball, waits for about 1 second while the NC State defender stupidly goes down to help, like I've been saying, don't do forever. And Edie just kicks it out to the three-point line. The guy from Purdue is wide open and just shoots a three. It's like five times at least it happened in the game. Like, what are you guys doing? What are we coaching about? 63 to 50. 63 to 50 was the score of the Purdue game against NC State. At least five threes. That's 15 points out of 63 scored total. And I'm telling you, it's at least five. They made other threes, and I wasn't tracking them, but five times where it was just like, here you go, Edie. Edie's like, okay, wait for them to come. Okay, 1 second, let me pass it right back out. You don't leave the three-point shooters, dude. And guess what's going to happen tonight? UConn is not going to leave the three-point shooters. Why? Because Klingon can guard Edie. If you watch, Middlebrooks did a good job against Edie. I mean, yeah, Edie scored his points. Listen, I know, he's a big dude. He's going to score. He had 20 points. Let him go for 30. Just don't give up the threes. He ain't going to get 30 against Klingon. I'm just telling you. It's not. UConn is not going to lose to Purdue tonight. Write it down, and I'll be playing this to start the show tomorrow. Post-lunar eclipse, if we're still even here. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then. That's how we get started. The Boston Bruins, I mean, how right on have I been about them? I just, my back is getting sore almost from patting myself on it so much. The Boston Bruins, remember the stretch when we had lost like 10 games or something in like overtime or shootouts? Can I just ask everybody to take a look, or maybe just take a listen? When I go and look at our most recent overtime games or shootout games, we won on Saturday against Florida 3-2. We're up 2-1 entering the third, and Florida ties it up. We're going into overtime. People, oh no, bro, from the past, we weren't doing so. 3-2, Bruins win. The time before that, we went into overtime at Washington. We win 3-2 in the shootout. Time before that, we go into overtime at Montreal. We win 2-1 in overtime. So our last three games that we've gone into overtime, the Bruins have won. That matters, people. That builds like fortitude, mental fortitude. And we've struggled earlier in the year. And as a player, you remember that. You remember those times when we weren't feeling so great. We just weren't getting over the hump. Now we're getting over the hump. So where's our confidence level, do you think? Sky high. And we are in a great position right now with just a couple games left, four games, to get the second spot at the very least. We play Carolina tomorrow night, the Bruins do. We have the victory on Saturday over Florida opened up our lead on them to 5 points. There's four games left for both teams. We're up by 5 points. So win another game, and you're looking pretty much guaranteed for the Bruins. But that win against Florida is huge because that would tee us up to get the number two spot overall, at least, against the Rangers. And I said last week, I'm cool if the Rangers have the number one seed. In fact, I'll pat them on the back and give them a good luck kiss. Go ahead out there, Rangers. Go get them. Carry the weight of New York on you and just choke like New York always does. New York fans are such losers. Such losers, New York fans, of all the sports. Come on. Whether you're a Mets fan, a Yankees fan, Rangers fan, Islanders fan, New York fans are losers. And I hope they have home ice advantage against us. The Bruins are going to take the Rangers down in the conference finals when the time comes, everybody. Know that, and I'll tell you what. On the other side, I mean, Sully called in last week. He's the dude that watches hockey all the time. The Pittsburgh Penguins are hot as a firecracker right now. They've won four in a row, and they're playing hard to get the number eight seed in the East. So the Penguins would potentially play against the New York Rangers first round. And that would be pretty cool to see the Rangers go down first round of the Penguins. That'd be a fight. I mean, they still got the big guns over there in Pittsburgh, a couple of them. So we'll see how things play out. I'm just telling you, the Boston Bruins are in prime position. We do play Carolina tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's, I guess, a big sports night. Celtics are playing against Milwaukee Bucks tomorrow night. The Celtics now have a 15-game lead in the Eastern Conference. 15 games! How is this possible? Our bench is so good against subpar talent. Well, We'll see when we get into the playoffs. There's plenty of NBA discussion to be had. There's plenty of everything discussion today. Look out for the lunar eclipse. Look out for the horrible drivers out there. And look at your radio. See what dial it's on. That's where you want to keep it today. The Sports Machine with Slim on WKXL's 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Online, you can hear us at nhtalkradio.com. Got something special here. I think I'm going to hold on to it till segment three. But for fans of the show, you're going to be a fan of segment three. I just tell you that. You're going to be a fan of these next 10 minutes, too. Let's bang through these 10 minutes and use my trusty notebook as a guide. I know you don't remember anything about Friday night. And you probably don't remember about Saturday either, but my notebook will enlighten us all. The Celtics, I was out and about, actually, with some friends, and I was more so watching the Iowa game against, oh boy, remember this? So much drama. It's like they wanted Iowa to lose all the way through, but Iowa and UConn, remember the game? Friday night, nobody's talking about it now, but the moving screen that a lot of people complain and say was, and of course it was a moving screen. Of course she was moving. Like, she decked that Gabby girl, and I like that Gabby girl's defense. She has incredible footwork, I'll tell you what. Right now, she is somebody I don't know that I could go off the dribble against right now at my age. I'll say that. I don't think I could get by her. She really wanted to keep me in front. She's fast. She played a heck of a game yesterday, too. But let's keep it to Friday. Iowa deserves a ton of credit. UConn deserves a ton of credit. Just a good basketball game to watch and the most highly rated women's basketball game of all time. I think it was the most highly rated basketball show on ESPN as well. I'm pretty sure I saw that statistic like ever. Or maybe it was the third most after a couple of like NBA playoff games. You know, ESPN gets those rights sometimes, but one of the most heavily watched sporting events of all time, definitely for women's sports. And it didn't disappoint. It gave you drama all the way to the end. Now, as I said, I didn't get to watch all of it because I was watching a little bit of the Celtics and I'm hanging out with friends. Well, it was a foul on the moving screen. Let me just say that. And plus, when there's 5 seconds left in the game, this is why the NBA players and even college a lot of times, like, you're not going to run the pick right there. Like, you don't wait for it to get down that low and then run a pick because you're putting the game in the balance of, like, the ref's whistle. You got to go one-on-one at that point or have people moving off the ball, whatever you're going to do. But to risk that and to have that girl think that it's okay just to be moving out like that like she did, no. Iowa moves forward. I'm glad they did. They lost yesterday, and we'll talk about that. But first, the Celtics. Do you know in the fourth quarter, Friday night, we had a ridiculously large lead. It was by like 18 points. And the other team, and I don't even know who it is. This is how inconsequential it was at the time. But at the end of the game, it started to get real consequential for me because the Celtics have been losing tons of close games. Like, this is just the way it's been. And so Friday night, as I'm watching, and I'm watching with the buddy, and you see, the Celts had this 18-point lead, and then Sacramento scores something like 19-1 run in the fourth quarter. And there's a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and I'm just like, oh, God. But we were coming out of a timeout when I did look over. It might have been with 3 minutes left. And I see Mazzulla leaves the bench guys in the game. And I'm like, okay, dude, good. That's fine. The bench guys were the ones who pretty much lost the lead. So you don't switch them out and put the starters back in. Like, no, you made the decision when you're up by 18 in the fourth, let them play, and it's their game. And if they blow it, then they're going to have to go in and hear about it the next day of practice from the starters. It's great motivation, actually. But what happens is the end of the game on Friday, I forget who shoots. Somebody shoots and misses, I'm pretty sure. Xavier Tillman grabs the ball, penetrates into the middle of the lane, throws up kind of a runner, whatever it was, but we take the lead and go ahead by one, and guess what? That's how it finishes. 101-100. The Celtics beat Sacramento Friday night, and we won a close game. After Tillman had made the shot, Sacramento calls timeout, I think, with like 2-3 seconds left, right? And maybe it was a little more than that. I said to my friend, I said, that's a huge play, actually. You watch this dude, because Tillman's new to the team. He'd been traded midseason, right? We got him from, I think it was Memphis, but he's a big, tough guy, not necessarily known for his offensive scoring prowess, but he can play. And on this team, you know, he's a bench guy. He's an eighth guy, ninth guy. There's room for him in the playoffs. I'll tell you that right now. You need muscle in the playoffs at different times, especially when a team coming in is like, all right, if they're down 0-2, you know they're coming out physical. And you're going to get a guy like Tillman in there early. So they're not banging on Tatum and banging on Brown so much. It's like, okay, let's see you bang on me. Well, Tillman makes that shot, and I say to my buddy, that's a huge play. You watch these guys. They're all jacked for him. When they go in the locker room, this guy, you know, they're going to be real, real happy. Well, we didn't have to wait to see the locker room. The game ends, Celtics win, and he's getting, everybody's coming over. Porzingis is all happy, Pritchard, everybody coming over for Tillman. Like, yeah, dude, you know, you hit the game winner. That's a big moment for a team when you have a guy who's not a scorer. He ain't hitting game-winning shots. How many game-winning shots has Xavier Tillman had in his career? I would guess none until Friday night. I could be wrong. Maybe he's had some others, but my guess is he's had none, and now he has one. So guess what? He feels good. The whole locker room feeling good. Celtics are up by 15 games in the Eastern Conference, and Milwaukee is not playing good right now. The Milwaukee Bucks, who we play tomorrow night, I'm clicking on their schedule, and I'm thinking, after the show today, I'm going to call Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio. I'm going to see if I can get on to one of their shows maybe tomorrow. That's my goal, is I'll introduce myself as the host of a sports talk radio show out here in New England. I love the Boston Celtics. We got a game tomorrow, and I think we might see each other in the playoffs. So I'm wondering if you guys would like to have some back and forth banter maybe on the air tomorrow. I think it'd be good radio. See what they say. So I am going to do that. I'm writing that in my notebook as I speak right now. So hopefully tomorrow I'll have an update. I will have an update one way or another, but hopefully I have an update with something positive, not like, yeah, they totally ignored me. They didn't know who I was, so they cut me off. They hung up on me mid-sentence. I didn't even get to finish my pitch. That's okay. If that's the way it goes, I'll still stay positive. Then I'll just, you know, continue to revel in the fact that Milwaukee is not playing well. In fact, they've lost 4 in a row and 6 out of 7. So I don't blame them for not wanting to talk to me. They've lost 7 out of 10, 6 out of 7, and 4 in a row. The last 4 at Washington, home against Memphis, home against Toronto, home against the New York Knicks. Nice work, Doc Rivers. And I like Doc Rivers. But it was the day that he got signed by the Bucks here on the station. I said, it's a terrible hire. It's not going to work out. Doc Rivers is a play harder type of coach. The Bucks already play hard. Like, you can't tell Giannis to go and play harder. This guy tries to run through people at the drop of a hat every night. And he's still in these. This is the issue with Doc Rivers. Like, this guy, unfortunately, nice guy. I like Doc Rivers. He just doesn't get it. He is Giannis. Out of these 10 games, I just told you, well, let's just look at the last 7. They've lost 6 out of 7. You know how many of those games Giannis has led the team in scoring, rebounding, and assists? All 3 of those categories? He has led the team in scoring, rebounding, and assists in 4 of those 7 games. So you're working this dog to the bone. For what? For what, Doc? To prove a point? To get the second seed? Over, like, what, Orlando or the Knicks? You're worried about home court advantage in the second round against Orlando or the Knicks? Dude, You better be worried first round against the 76ers or the Heat or even the Pacers. The Bucks are no threat to the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. No threat. None of the top teams are. It goes Celtics and then Bucks, Orlando Magic, New York Knicks, Cleveland Cavaliers. Those are the next four teams in the standings. Are you kidding me? The 6, 7, and 8 seeds are way better than the 2, 3, 4, and 5. Indiana Pacers, Philadelphia 76ers, Miami Heat. So the Celts, what we're going to have to do, we're going to have to beat probably the Heat. First round would be my guess. And then second round, we'll probably have to play the Knicks. And then we'll play the 76ers in the finals for the East. Looking ahead, I hope they're going to win. I don't think the Celtics are going to win. I hope the Celtics are going to win. And I hope that this next segment of the Sports Machine with Slim coming up here is going to be one that gets you fired up and happy on Lunar Eclipse Day. This is WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Caitlin Clark is going to be part of segment three, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Don't go anywhere. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. What are they going to do with themselves now that the season is over? That's the question. Yesterday they lose 87-75 to South Carolina. South Carolina squad who is much, much bigger and much, much deeper. In the second half, there was a point where I was watching the game and the announcer said, or the graphic showed on TV, that Iowa's bench had been outscored 36-0 up until that point of the game. I think the score was 78-70 at that time. And as I told you, South Carolina goes on to win 87-75. So the game was pretty much over at the end. And I saw 36-0 was the score of the benches. South Carolina is 36, Iowa 0. And it just made me think of like the comments that I had seen on social media between Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday from quote-unquote like experts in basketball talking about how like Caitlin Clark needs to have a championship, needs to win the title to be considered like the GOAT. And it's just such a like when I heard those comments, and I heard them from multiple people, like former UConn basketball players, probably most of all. So immediately I think, you know, they're just jealous because she's better than they ever were. And I just was like, the thought immediately came to my mind. So what, like, you think Larry Bird, when he took Indiana State to play against Magic Johnson's team, was it Michigan State, like way back in the day, you think like Larry Bird's season was a failure, or like he was less than because his team didn't win that final game? Like, the dude went on to win three championships in the NBA. Caitlin Clark's team was ridiculously overmatched. The bench was 36-0. And you commentators, quote-unquote experts, think that that lessens Caitlin Clark's, like, season accomplishments, career at Iowa? Because her team didn't win the game? What a ridiculous, like, asinine thing to say. Just truly, truly, like, unbelievable how dumb these people on TV are to say something like this. So I'm going to double down on the dumbness, and I'm going to over-the-top them with an idea that I think is actually ingenious. And when you hear this, I'm pretty sure you're going to say, like, oh, that's never going to happen. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of reasons why it could happen. And those reasons are money. The Iowa Hawkeyes, we know Caitlin Clark's going on to a career in the WNBA. She's going to get so many sponsorships. It just seems like an athlete you want to root for. Held herself with class. You could see sometimes she gets frustrated. Well, guess what? I would too if I'm giving passes to my teammates who just keep missing layups. Heck, even today I'd get mad if I went to play pickup and I gave somebody two passes and they missed. So she held herself together very well. Seems like a great person to have as like a sponsor, you know, so that you want to pay this person to endorse your product. Well, the rest of the Iowa teammates, how much money are they going to make moving forward? Like, what's their career going to look like? I honestly don't know. I can maybe see Gabby Marshall there going and playing a little bit in the WNBA. She's undersized, though, but she's tough. She can hit a three, and she defends very well. So maybe there's a chance just from the speed factor. But that's I guess that would be unlikely. She's not going to be making millions in the WNBA. So my thought is the rest of the Iowa Hawkeyes girls probably not going to be making much money at all. Like, this is their time, right? And Caitlin Clark seems like a real team person. So why not do something for your team, Caitlin? This is Slim from The Sports Machine with Slim. And I would like to challenge Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes to a game of basketball against a 40 and over team of all-stars from the Hampstead, New Hampshire Men's Masters Basketball League. And I will commit, as a man who just turned 50 in February, I will guard Caitlin Clark for the entire 40 minutes of the game. I would like to play on pay-per-view, and believe me, once this gets out into the stratosphere, into the Twittersphere, there'll be places we could rent out and play this basketball game. And my suspicion is that the stadium would be absolutely packed and people would buy pay-per-view like it's going out of style, like it's a WWE Super Slam, WrestleMania, etc. event, like it's UFC 200 or 300 or whatever the heck is coming up this coming Saturday. People would buy pay-per-view to watch this Iowa Hawkeyes squad led by Caitlin Clark against this 50-year-old wannabe sports talk show host who has a big mouth and wants to challenge and saying our team is going to beat them. And I'm telling you right now, you give me the press coverage leading up to the game and I am going to like Peter McNeely wrap Caitlin Clark in a cocoon of horror that she's never seen on the defensive end. She thought she had tough defense against her on UConn and South Carolina over the last couple of games. That ain't nothing to what you would see from me for the first 3 to 4 minutes at the very least, Caitlin. After that, yes, I'm going to be sucking some wind. But if you are woman enough to accept this challenge, to accept a game for your Iowa Hawkeyes to play against my Hampstead Masters Basketball 40 and over league, what I will commit to is you and your teammates keep 90% of the profits. Whatever the pot is for the game to be played, pay-per-view, everything like that, you guys keep 90% of the profits. We'll keep 10%. That's all I'm looking for because I want to be able to give 1% each to the players on the team. I'll keep 1%. We'll give 9 to the other 9 players. We'll show up with a team of 10, and we will get it on. What do you think about this, Caitlin Clark? Have you received a challenge like this at all in the past? And what's your initial reaction? Caitlin Clark, do you accept the challenge from the Sports Machine with Slim? It's an excellent idea. I'm telling you, everywhere people would buy pay-per-view. If some team in Hawaii, a men's masters basketball league in Hawaii, California, any state, it doesn't matter. If they were going to play the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight, dude, I would definitely buy that on pay-per-view. I'd pay at least $50. I'd pay $100. I might pay $200. If it was going to be a real game with real old guys who I know are going to get so tired, and maybe the women are going to embarrass them, it'd be so awesome to watch this. But I ain't coming there to be embarrassed if I play. So just know that if you're buying pay-per-view to my special with me locking down Caitlin Clark, you're going to be treated to a defensive session, wizardry. You will see how you defend Caitlin Clark. You don't let her shoot threes over the top of picks. You better get that shot off quick because I'm coming from behind to block that three. You go into the lane, guess what? My 6 foot 7 inch brother's gonna be there waiting for you to block that swat, that shot into the stands if I don't get to it first in the first 5 minutes at the very least. It'd be so good. It really would be so good. I really hope that Caitlin Clark is able to see this, because you'd be doing it for your teammates. Let's say we generate $10 million. You guys keep $9 million of it. You can divide the $9 million amongst your teammates, capitalize on the star and the attention that you have, the spotlight right now on you, Caitlin, to do something great for your teammates. And this will be fun. And not for nothing, it could be great for women too. This is going back to tennis, people, back in the day. What was it? It was Bobby Riggs played against Billie Jean King, right? And I don't even remember what happened in that game. I think he might have smoked her. I don't remember what happened back then. If anybody knows, you certainly could call. I probably ought to look at that during the commercial break. See if the guy got absolutely destroyed by Billie Jean King. He should not have said anything. But irrelevant. Let's use the media against itself, Caitlin. Like, all these people are coming on, they're down talking you. Oh, you can't be the GOAT if you're... It's like, you know, they just always want to dull you. It seemed to me that the media wanted to see Caitlin Clark and Iowa lose. It really did feel that way. And I just don't understand why. That team plays so hard. You got to root for Iowa. I mean, I root for South Carolina, too. Good team. I mean, I saw two good teams. Great basketball action the whole weekend, really, as far as competitiveness and good sportsmanship. That's what I'm all about. But I'm also about making some money for the Iowa Hawkeyes teammates. Caitlin Clark, you have a chance to do something like this, and I think you should accept my offer, or else be labeled a coward. The Sports Machine with Slim will roll on after these commercial messages. WKXL Radio, you can hear us on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. This is NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. What do you think about that? I just got a text from Caitlin Clark. She accepts the challenge. It would be so good. We're going to play 2 weeks. Well, I did get a chance to Google the Battle of the Sexes here when Billie Jean King played this Bobby Riggs guy, and I know there was a movie, so people probably already saw this, but I didn't see the movie, and I wasn't that into it, obviously, but apparently Bobby Riggs used to be, like, number one ranked player. So he won Wimbledon, I guess. So the deal is, on September 20th, 1973, top women's tennis player Billie Jean King defeated former number one ranked men's tennis player Bobby Riggs in a battle of the sexes. She won in straight sets, 6-4, 6-3, 6-3. So this did give me a little bit of pause, like, oh no, I read deeper. Bobby Riggs, a former Wimbledon champion and a shameless self-publicist, made a fortune from gambling on his own tennis matches. Seeing an opportunity to make more money, he challenged a 29-year-old King and 31-year-old Margaret Court, claiming that even at the age of 55, he could beat the top women tennis players. So he challenged the two best female players when they were 29 and 31. He was 55 years old. He ended up losing to Billie Jean King, 6-4, 6-3, 6-3. So, I mean, that's a pretty similar situation going on here, except I don't know if I'd classify myself as a shameless self-publicist, and I certainly haven't made a fortune from gambling on my own tennis matches or anything else for that matter. But, you know, 55 loses to 29-year-old. Now, tennis is a physical sport, I guess, on some level, right? It's certainly a sport. not like darts or golf, which I do not think are sports. They're hobbies. Sports that, like, you have to actually run to be a sport. Darts is not a sport. It's a hobby. Golf is not a sport. It's a hobby. Like, air hockey is not a sport. It's a hobby. So, tennis, though, yes, it's a sport. But there's no physical contact. And there's nobody in your way in tennis, right? Physical. You get around a person. Basketball, there is. Now, there's also the fact that I would get winded. I know this. But I just, my competitive streak will not allow me to stay still. Like, I'd pass out before I stop trying to guard her. The eyes of the country would be on me. Some people probably, you know, I imagine they'd be wagering on the game. Some people, you know, placing their trust in me. I'd have to suck it up and defend her. Maybe I'd get a one-minute breather or something like that. Maybe we could negotiate that if she's that afraid. If this is a stumbling block in the negotiations, maybe you know, I'll say I can take a two-minute rest each quarter or each half against them. It'd be so great to talk about. I can't. I really hope. I'm gonna make some videos. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm filming some shorts, some reels. We're going to be flooding Facebook with this topic. I challenge you, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, to a basketball game against a team from New Hampshire of 40-plus-year-olds. Do you accept the challenge? UConn's going to accept the challenge tonight is what I'm going to tell you. I know I said it at the beginning. You just look at the team UConn and look at the poor game NC State played. I mean, my brother said it, like the first play of the game, the big man, DJ Burns, he gets open. And he had been dropping him in. I know the game before, first shot he takes, boom, right in. You're just like, yes. But in the first game here against Purdue, if first play, no, he misses that shot. And then he gets a foul a minute in by reaching on a guard dribbling. It's just like, oh, dude, not a good idea. Not NC State's day. Man, they got so many open shots. DJ Horn was not good. He was great in the first half. But in the second half, he had so many open shots, wide open, and he just didn't make them. And NC State, unfortunately, I think they felt the difference in the crowd. And, I mean, it's amazing how much I know about this stuff because I just watched it all the time. But the crowd matters. Think of the Elite Eight games, Sweet 16 games with NC State. All their fans were behind the bench. Right, the big man, DJ Burns, his dad was sitting behind the bench. They're all cheering. They're into the game. The team's feeling it. Well, when you go to the Final Four, well, now those tickets are way more expensive, and each team gets less tickets. And you got just general basketball fans and corporate people that are going to both the games. So you're not having as many fans in the stands to support you. And NC State, just you could tell they never got that next level rush. Like, they looked tired. In fact, Mo Diarra didn't even start, right? That was really strange for me. That was coming out. I mean, that should have been the tip-off at the beginning of the game. He looked so tired, unfortunately. And I know part of it is Edie and his size and this, but no, there was something different about NC State, man. They just wore down. Plus, the O'Connell guy pulled his hamstring or whatever. It just wasn't their day. I mean, just think back to this game. It wasn't their day. And Purdue, like, yeah, they got hot at the end. But you know why they got hot? Because they were hitting wide open threes, dude. Because the guys were helping off. UConn has way too much speed. And on the other end, like on the offensive end, they're going to get shots off. Purdue isn't going to be able to keep up with them. They're just not the way. Like, Alabama had speed. Alabama's in shape. That was a good game watching Alabama and UConn. UConn just a better team. And you can't leave their guys open at all. It's just not a fair fight tonight. I really think UConn slams that team. I don't know how Purdue's going to score. I expect coming in tomorrow, it's going to be Zach Edey had like 18 points, maybe 20 points. He probably hits like 6 or 7 free throws because UConn's going to foul a couple times. I know that. But they're going to let Klingon guard him one-on-one. And just nobody else is going to be able to score on Purdue. They're not. The road for Purdue has been so easy to get here. This is everything colliding tonight. I don't understand. They're only getting 6. Grambling. They beat Utah State, who stinks. They beat Gonzaga, who lost by 20 in their conference championship. Then they go on to go to the Final Four. They did beat Tennessee, who had been playing well. But again, Dalton Knecht took 31 shots out of 62. Like, he was a one-man team for Tennessee. And he missed plenty of open shots. Then they go on and they play this game in for the final two against NC State, an 11 seed, which unfortunately came down to earth. When if you watch the game, that wasn't the same NC State team that had been playing over the past nine games. Yet they battled. They were tough. Purdue is not that good. They're just not. And UConn obviously has been slamming. And it's interesting because I did not like UConn last year, and I did not want UConn to win this year. In fact, I thought they might get upset in the second round or third round. Second to Auburn. That was my pick, right? So now, for the first time, it's been 11 games that they've won in the tournaments. I've been against them almost every single one. Except last year when they played St. Mary's. That's right. I remember that St. Mary's was horrible. And I was like, how is UConn only favored by four? Well, I'm saying the same thing tonight. I do not. Purdue is going to get blown out tonight. I think Purdue will score less than 50 points. That will be my prediction. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm going to write that in my notebook. Purdue scores less than 50. Less than 50. This, I do not like Bobby Hurley's brother. I do not like Bobby Hurley's brother at all. He's just a complainer and a whiner. And he's a little bit arrogant, but I will say, when he does interviews, if I was a kid, like, I'd probably want to go play for the guy. He's smart, I guess, is the way I would say it, with his comments. And he's got emotion behind him, so it's going to be tough to knock that guy off his pedestal if he's getting two in a row here, because UConn just looks like they got a program built over there, and these guys are working hard. Keep in mind with UConn, right, they beat Alabama, whatever it was, by like 17, something, I don't know the final score, but keep in mind, their plane was late getting in out there. And so now, tonight, they've had a little bit more time to, like, adjust, get ready, and tonight, it's all on. Like, this is to go back-to-back. This is what they've been waiting for. They beat Alabama 86-72. Alabama been scoring like crazy, dude. They only got 72 against UConn. Now, some of that is going to Phoenix and the new stadium and stuff like that they ain't been playing in and that stuff. So that matters. It's much bigger. It's different to shoot, which is even better for UConn. They had 86 in that game. They're going to have... they're gonna have at least 80 tonight. I'm not surprised if UConn wins by 30. I really am not. So let's see what I know about college basketball. Purdue gets crushed by UConn, and we'll pick this up tomorrow morning on the Sports Machine with Slim here on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester.